Tonight, I want us to look at the doing business with God and the focus. Here's something that is so important to us. Now, I thought that the message that God had given me to bring this morning would bring a lot of that out until I showed up, and that wasn't the message God wanted me to bring this morning. But here's something that's really important for us. Tonight is eight principles to make wise decisions. But what you and I need to really look at in our life is our individual walk with Christ. Now, I know we come together in our church walks. You hear me preaching it every Sunday that it is the body of Christ when we're put together. But we need to remember the importance of each individual part of that body that God has formed representing His Son on earth right now. Until, folks, the church represents the body of Jesus until Jesus returns. Remember, a lot of people did not believe He was coming the first time. And those are the same people or the ancestors of today that don't believe He's coming the second time because He didn't come the first time. Then you have another group that says, no, the second time you all call the second time will be His first time. And that's when you get a little wisdom and decide, I'm not even going to get in this argument with these people. I need to be focusing on what God has called me to do, each one of us. Now, don't believe at any time that your life is not important to God. Your life service. Every one of us have been blessed with being given from God a life service. Now, Christians will remain in that life service eternally. There will not be a point from the day we said yes to Jesus Christ, there will never ever be a separation from us, who we are, our spirit. There will never be a separation again. Now, how do we know that? Because there was only one time Jesus had to be separated from God the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? He had to conquer that so that you and I would not have to worry about it and we could be about the business God has called us individually to be about. Well, think of it. If I don't have to worry about dying, what else has the world got to threaten me with? Or Satan? If I know that I'm living eternally and that if this body breaks down, this body is gone, I'm immediately with my Savior Jesus, why am I going to get excited about it? You and I are also, though, obligated. This is very important, and I hope, I have no idea what all I said this morning, but I hope that we understand that when God blesses us, He blesses us with a little spiritual sense. It's obvious that society had lost any common sense, but Christians are backing away from the spiritual sense. How do I deal with my spiritual life? Well, look at the Bible. Look at the eight principles to making a wise decision. They're in the Bible. Every time we have a question concerning our walk with Christ, get out His owner's manual. He gave us a manual to who we are, and you read His word. Number one, first principle to make wise decision is this. I just said it. Check the Bible. That's revelation. God is going to reveal to us. While I'm on that, think about what we call the book of Revelation. Many will say it in a plural form, the book of Revelations, but it's not plural. It is the book of Revelation. The revelation, the word itself means to unfold, to uncover. That's what the word itself means. And then we will have folk who said, no, the book of Revelation, John's revelation, it is not John's revelation. John was chosen by God to pen Jesus's revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to all humanity. Now, people say, well, yeah, but it's too difficult for me to understand. Remember, the word itself tells us how God is revealing to us. He said, here's what's going to happen. Well, we don't understand it. You and I are looking at the concepts in the book of Revelation, and we're saying we can't wrap our mind around it. Okay? Then be joyous about that. Simply because if man cannot wrap their minds around the revelation of God, I guarantee you that means it came direct from God. Many religions can look at you and look at those who follow that religion, and they will give you, okay, this is what this means. This is what this means. You and I, in reading God's word, revealing himself for our service. He reveals himself to us so that our service to him will bless those around us. We are to be a blessing to the ones God sends us to. We're not to be a cursing. We are to be a blessing. And we will take to those individuals on our life journey that God has given us, we will take to them a word from God and reveal to them, thus saith the Lord. Look at Proverbs 2, 6, and 7. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. Again, you will get into some type of arguments if you're prone to do that. Many people will say that intellect will eventually move into wisdom. I know a lot of smart people, folk, aren't very wise, don't you? They may have the intellect, but there's no wisdom there. The wisdom is when God says, I'm going to reveal what I've called you to do. The wisdom comes in a revelation from the Holy Spirit to us. Now, does God reveal that to my mind? Well, let's not nitpick any of this. God reveals it to who we really are, to our spirit. So therefore, my spirit, your spirit, is what's walking with Christ. And Christ then, after filling us with his spirit of the truth, it is revealed to our human mind, but from our spirit. Therefore, when my mind is gone, my spirit isn't. Remember, I've told you that one of the greatest fears I've ever had is being trapped in this vehicle. The greatest fear that most people will ever have, the claustrophobic type of a fear, is being trapped inside of a vehicle, whether it's gone off a bridge into the water, whether it's on fire, or whatever that situation is, where we are trapped on the inside and have no power to get that release. Okay? Jesus says to us, you belong to me. I am in control. When I then place my full trust in who Jesus is, Jesus shows me then his love for me as we extend that love to everyone else. All right, how far does that go? I don't have any idea. But I'll tell you this. The depth of God's love is much greater than the mind. The mind, the human mind, can get smart. But I know a lot of people, again, that are smart but not wise. So he says, it is the Lord who gives wisdom. From him come knowledge and understanding. He provides help and protection for those who are righteous and honest. Jesus said, though, that none are righteous, no, not one, did he not? And people will once again play the batting back and forth game there with our minds about, well, yeah, but Jesus said, none are righteous, so how can I receive the protection from God if I'm not righteous? The righteousness of Christ through us is seen in our love for those around us. That is, the righteousness that we have and is only through who Jesus is in us. You're right. We're right. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus is righteous. Jesus, the perfect man. Well, I can't remember whether that was in my Sunday school class this morning or I said it at church, but to bring to everybody's attention, there was only one perfect man, and that's Jesus Christ. And God did not use a man to create the man Jesus. Okay, it was in Sunday school. But that's a fact. So when we men think we're so cocky, we need to think out. We were left out of that focus on the Son of Man coming, and God chose the woman. So we need to be a little careful about what we say about a woman. Should not say this, should not say that. Actually, I think it'd be from the wisdom standpoint, I don't think I would tell my wife anything. I'm wise enough to know better than to do that. But to tell her, now you ladies, if your husband, through the years, ever decided to tell you something, I bet you all just jumped right to it. I can tell where you are now. Christ, though, says, I'm going to give you the wisdom. He gave us men wisdom enough, gentlemen, to keep our mouths shut. I suggest we do more of it. Proverbs 28:26. A man is foolish to trust himself, but those who use God's wisdom are safe. Oh, you know, I got this covered. No, you don't. We don't have it covered. We just think we have it covered. Jesus has it covered for us. Our walk with Christ is a gift from God because he loves us, and that walk focuses on Jesus picking us up out of the ditch of life. When our spirit is broken, when we just see no hope for the future, then all of a sudden we get that smile on our face and someone says, what's wrong with you? And what you need to say is, I just had a Jesus moment there. Because that moment is telling us everything's going to be okay. Everything will be okay. Number two on the principle of wise decisions is get the facts. First, check the Bible, Revelation. If the Bible doesn't say what you're getting ready to get involved with or say that it is good, don't do it. Get the facts, information. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge. What we do? You will act out of knowledge if you're going to build a home. You'll act out of knowledge if you're going to pick out something that you're wanting. That's the human existence of knowledge. Everything that's going on in our life through our humanness is a part of our spiritual walk. I don't have any choice in the body that God has placed me in. This is one vehicle I didn't get to pick out. God created it. What did he create it for? That purpose for me and the purpose for you here on earth. Though we look like God wants us to look. Even if I'm fat, I look the way God wanted me to look 100 years ago. But it is an ideal that you and I have been given a blessing to get the facts and the information of God. I'm in trouble. Proverbs 18:13. How stupid to decide before knowing the facts, right? Do you ever think that you would force somebody until they opened their mouth or what was going on in life? Okay. Proverbs 14:16. Sensible people are careful to stay out of trouble, but stupid people are careless and act too quickly. And I know that we tell our children, don't say stupid. Well, we tell our children not to use a lot of words that's in the Bible. Listen, folks, if you had the original King James, it would get pretty rough. in reading how the language would translate for us. Well, you know, again, I always go back, you know good and well that Jesus' disciples never said anything out of line. And I said, right, yeah. Most of the people I ever met getting off of boats and anywhere were Marines or Navy. Okay, number three, the eight principles. Number three, ask for advice. Sure, every man within the sound of my hearing of my voice knows that if we think we're going to be lost, we always pull right over and go ask somebody so that we won't take the wrong word. Or we deal with reality and realize that we put a smile on our face, hoping that the wife doesn't catch on, that you don't have the slightest idea where you are. I got to tell you all that. It was that same with Jake. Jake said, "Now, Estelle, now you go get Brother Larry, and he's going to take me." I'm sure I told you all that. So I get up in Louisville. I mean, they'd blocked off roads everywhere in Louisville. And I got him in there, and we're driving, and he said, "You know, it's just amazing. See, Brother Larry just drives right through the places and goes." I had no idea where I was. But when you act like you know what you're doing, and nobody else knows what you're doing, "Well, I'll go this way, Jake." That's a good idea. Well, what? We finally got out of Louisville, and he said, "I can't imagine Estelle ever getting me out like that." I said, "Well, I can't either. You know, I'm glad I was here to help, knowing my way." Yeah. Okay. To ask for advice is consultation. Consult with each other, folks. Talk to those who've been through the trials of life. Talk to those who have, watched them after whatever tragedy took place. Get advice for them. And one piece of advice that is really, really dangerous for folks to give out, hope, you know, they're wanting to do what's right and think they're helping. But don't you ever tell someone that when they've lost a dear one, that it won't hurt the further we go down the line. That, you know, time heals all wounds. No, it doesn't. Folks, there will always be that part. There will be a joy of getting to see them, knowing that as a Christian. But you're still going to hurt, right? You ache inside. And to tell a person, "Well, you know, if you did walk with the Lord, you wouldn't have to worry about hurting that bad." No, that's not a voice of wisdom. Nope. Proverbs 20:18. Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without the advice of others. And when the others are giving that advice to go to war, especially when it's the Pope, I suggest somebody start paying attention before it's too late. I wanted to say before it hits America. It's already hit. And we know that.
So you're saying that if you're in the army and they say we're going to war and you said, "No, I haven't decided yet whether I'm going"?
I'm saying that, ask for the advice when they said, "No, don't go to war." But just like in our case right now, you got all generals, including the Pope, that says it has to be stopped. Does anybody remember in your Old Testament studies how many times God had told Israel or the kingdom, Hebrew nation, to go and stop it now? And what happened? Joshua would go in and he didn't do exactly what God said because he spared. A problem in our society is we accept evil, and we push away that which is good. Do you remember the, they were called the protectors. They were sent out, and you all will have the term for me in just a second, I know, because I'm going to tell you what they did. They did not wait until they saw the enemy coming before they sounded the alarm. They were charged by God to look at the situation and warn the nation before the enemy even starts to come of what's going to happen. Oh, the watchman. That's right. He appointed the watchman. The watchman wasn't standing there in the tower and said, they're coming, nor were the watchmen on a horseback saying, the British are coming, the British are coming. The watchmen were to use wisdom and study the enemy to the point that you would know to warn the people they're coming, not saying they're here. Look at the slaughter. Okay. Proverbs 15:22, without advice, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed. Always have the advice. And let me share something with you on, from the biblical standpoint on sharing advice. For one thing, I cannot ask for advice about what God's called me to do. That can only come through the revelation of Jesus Christ in my spiritual being or who I am. So to ask somebody, do you really believe that I would be accepted as a preacher? A Marine coming out of Vietnam? Now you need to get a lot cleaned up. I couldn't clean anything up. Jesus does it, folks. Every person that comes back out of a combat is broken. We got that. We understand that, don't we? So please remember that. But it's just not the combat of the physical battles that we fight in a war. It is the spiritual battles. How many times have we been in those spiritual battles inside of ourselves? Nobody outside, not even your wife, not even your husband, know the battle that is being waged inside of who we really are. And those battles that you fight in your mind and deal with as Satan attempts to pull us down physically. If Satan can wear us down physically through our old nature, he'll have a lot of authority over our spiritual being. When you're physically hurt, do you really feel like praising the Lord? And folks, get honest with that. When you're down and you got a broken arm, you're looking at it, the bone sticking through, please don't say, Lord, I needed that. Thank you. You know, you're hurting. You're wanting it fixed. But, it does. Doesn't it wake you up to your humanity when something like that hits or hurts? Set a goal. Set a goal means to select a path. Listen, Proverbs 17:24. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Take your time in prayer. Prayer does not have a time limit. When you said, Lord, give me the direction, wait for his direction. This coming Sunday, I think you're going to hear a message on the battle of two brothers, of two nations. And in doing so, that we will understand that you go in many different directions, but there's only one direction to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And no, there are not many ways of getting there. Does that not bother people when they say, yes, I know that God is in charge, but he's given us many different ways to get there outside of Jesus? That's the big lessons that are being taught. It's not just that through Jesus salvation is attained. It's through what you do here and what you do there. Folks, that's not true. That is the lie that is killing everyone, not just the United States, but every nation. Be wise. Proverbs 4:25-20. You can't be wise either if you're hanging out a bunch of crazy people. Yeah, I know. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about, you know what I mean, the people of the world. A Christian, you hang out with the people of the world very long, and you'll notice that the world's creeping back, right? So you hang out with the right people. Proverbs 4:25-27. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Man, every time we start out, praise the Lord, thank you, Father, and we start out, and then you will see people fall by the way. Why? Because in our joy, in our excitement of our salvation, we really do believe that nothing can touch us unless God allows it. So we have that excitement of the Holy Spirit. We have that authority that God has placed within the wisdom part of who we are, that He is in control. What happens? And it happens. Count them, number them one by one as how you see people fall, folks. It is an idea that we decide somewhere along the line we're going to take charge of the calling that God has given us. That's in the story of Obadiah. Read it. Y'all got on 21 verses, people. Be ready for it next Sunday morning. And what we find is God looking in our heart and God saying, I have called you for this position. Everything you and I do is a position that God has given us to do when we do it in the Spirit. That means that God says, I'll show you how to do this. Now, when do you get in trouble? When you start telling God, don't worry, I read the book, Lord. So therefore, you stand back and you go help somebody else because, you know, they're not really walking as close to you as I am and all of this stuff. Folks, the whole crew's getting ready to crash land. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes. Fix your eyes. Randy sings it all the time. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Mark out a straight path. The straight path to the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. Then stick to the path. Why do so many people start out in God's house saying, yes, I believe that Jesus is my Savior, and then go live like hell in the world and pulls people away from Jesus? That is not of God. Number five, count the cost. Evaluate. Okay. In a call to minister, and that's the only way I can speak from this, is a standpoint when you're called by God and you know you're called by God for your task as or your mission as a Christian. This is what God wants you to do. For me, it was I knew that I was called by God to preach His word. Now, I have to evaluate that call. How did I do that? A lot of you have heard me on that testimony before, but it was an idea of after I just read about Gideon, I wanted to put fleece out. So in my way, I did that, and it really shook me up because I knew the answer was yes. I didn't stutter, Larry. That's exactly what I called you for. And you count the cost. Folks, I can tell you right now, I did not know how much it would cost to lose friends because, and I'm talking about Christian friends. Larry's gone off the deep end. Well, that's true, but that didn't mean God didn't call me to preach. So therefore, you count the cost. How can I? I would have never dreamed that Christians would have been the first group that turned against me because of my call to preach. I'd have never dreamed that. How could I count that cost? How could I count the cost of my own siblings and all shaking their head no? You can't count that cost, folks. But God says, I want you to count the cost. Evaluate the situation. Proverbs 20:25. It is foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. What has always gotten well-meaning Christians in trouble is when that well-meaning Christian says, this is what I will give to you, Lord. Whether it's my life, my money, my whatever it is that you have given to me, I give this to you. And you make that commitment, and then you don't keep it. The Lord says, don't make it. It is better that you did not make the commitment to begin with than for you to make it and then not follow through. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Remember, they in their pride, they raised up in all of this. And I'll never forget when it said, do you hear those steps? Those are the men coming to take you. And now all of a sudden, Ananias falls dead. The next is his wife comes in because they had lied to God. And Peter said, you did not lie to men. You lied to the Holy Spirit. The same men that came to take out your husband are coming to take you out. Then she fell dead. If you all continue reading and studying that, you'll find out the church was pretty well shook up. From the standpoint of, let me see, what kind of lie did I say when I did it? What kind of lie did I do on this? And, you know, they're watching too. They got caught dead. And so every time you will pay attention to that, you will find out that the Lord says to us, choose. Are we not to choose you this day who you will serve? Make the choice. But don't attempt to play church. Number six is plan for problems, preparation. Oh, you want to see families fall apart. I guarantee you, folks, it's because we didn't plan, didn't prepare for what is about ready to hit it. If you read the Bible, you will find all sorts of information as to how we do that in our life. Psalm 22:3, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. Well, I didn't dream that was going to happen. Really? You didn't dream that if you don't work, you're going to get hungry? Really? You didn't plan for that? You didn't plan that your family was going to have to go through hard times, so you would make certain that you would plan for the hard times because they're coming? Don't we have story after story in the scripture of that? Do we not have Joseph's story of starting to store food because he knew that a famine was coming? So he prepared. Guess who was eaten? The Egyptians. Guess who was really protected? Because God's man had the wisdom. Okay. Number seven. Face your fears as confrontation. I hate confrontation. I really do. People laugh at me when I say that because I'm in so much of it. But I hate confrontation. You must confront those who are trying to stop you from the truth of God. There is a time for everything, Solomon says. And there is a time to confront and a time to just back. Pick your battles. Pick them. Don't allow the battles to pick you. Make certain that you confront that which is evil. Proverbs 29:25, fear of man is a dangerous trap. But to trust in God means safety. You want protection from God? You stand in the gap. You stand there and you stand strong. Though you're going to lose maybe that human physical battle. Don't we remember that the prophets of old prophesied of the word of God and what would come? But they never lived to see it. So through faith in believing the Messiah is coming, that Old Testament generation accepted Christ before they saw him. Now catch this. The Old Testament then are in heaven because they believed God's word that the Messiah is coming. So that was salvation for those who believed. And then they had these outward ways of expressing what they believed. And then Jesus comes. Those who, which kicked off the church age, those who then believed that Jesus was who he said he was, then they became the church, the body of Christ. But once again, the leaders, the religious people, didn't believe it. Now we say Jesus is coming back. And you have people still laughing about Jesus coming back. Well, I'm happy about it too, but not for the reason they are. And I'll have to admit, now listen, I don't want to prejudge this, but the Left Behind movie, I'm going to watch it. Let me tell you where I've come in on this. God will use anything to lead people to him. If the doubters will go to see that, and God uses that to touch their heart to seek God, I'm for it. Step out in faith, initiation, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. That's promise. The Lord never made a promise that he didn't keep.